Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2 minutes after 1 a.m. Here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours. It is also trade deadline day here in baseball. 888-808-1019. It's been a very active weekend. A lot of local implications, including the Mets trading Freddy Peralta to the Rays. And we'll get into the Mets and the deal of Peralta to Tampa, Minter also on his way out over the weekend, and what could be next. But we'll stick with your calls now with the Yankees, as they have also made a big splash on Sunday. Luis Garcia, a huge bat, a guy having a career year. His advanced stats are right there with Ben Rice this season, just to give you an idea of how good Garcia has been. Now, his splits are jarring, to say the least. He is unbelievable, Garcia is, against right-handed pitching, and brutal against left-handed pitching, which calls into sort of, okay, is he in a platoon spot with Goldschmidt? Would Rice move to catcher? Okay, Rice is not going to catcher. I mean, Jack Curry basically confirmed that. Goldschmidt's still going to play, but I don't see a 50-50 split. Garcia's also insurance for guys if they don't come back. You added a great bat here. And a guy having a great year. That's probably the better way to say it. Because Garcia, throughout his career, I wouldn't say great. But this year, he's been great. And even if it's an outlier, you hope the outlier remains for the next couple months. And he's under contract for next year. But at this point, the Yankees just have to add bats and then figure out what to do with them. Because they need offense. And there might not be a lot of offensive or position players that get dealt here in the next 16 hours. So you got to jump on a guy if he's out there and he can help you win ball games and help your offense, your anemic offense. And Garcia can do that. It doesn't solve your problem against lefties, but that's where you got to get another couple, you know, you got to get a right-handed bat in the outfield or maybe a right-handed bat in the infield. I've mentioned George Springer's name a lot over the last 7 days. It's a long shot, I think, but if the Yankees can pull that one off, if Brian Cashman can pull that one off, that would be a major addition because of his postseason prowess, because of his big game prowess, because he's a gamer, because of that DNA, his championship DNA, and a guy that, hey, look, he can handle the lights when he plays the Yankees because he's been a Yankee killer throughout his career. So he's not intimidated by these settings, that's for sure. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to Ramtown, New Jersey. Mike joins us here on After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's up, Big Lugie?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I'm doing well. Just want to speak to you real quick about the Yankees. Mm-hmm. You know, I know they're making their trade line deals and Cashman's involved and all that stuff. But I know people are hating on the Dodgers, you know, for getting Skubal.
Yeah.
But what prevents the Yankees from getting Skubal?
Nothing, unless...
Like the Dodgers traded...
Well, hold on. Nothing.
Sorry, go ahead.
Nothing, but there are people out there, I'm not one of them, that believe there is collusion going on and that the owners want a cap, and if the Dodgers win another championship, they will have public, you know, opinion on their side or the public backing on their side in this sort of war against the Players Association, and there will be a cap. So there are people out there that think there's collusion going on.
There's going to be a backlash from the owners, and there's going to be backlash from the players.
From the public.
Now,
though, it's really the public backlash with stuff like
that. Well, yes, I'm part of the public. I don't like it either. I don't like it either. However, what is to stop the Yankees from parting with George Lombard?
Nothing.
Who's never played a major league game in his life, who could turn into the next Anthony Volpe.
We don't know.
Give him up to get Tarik Skubal, the best pitcher in baseball.
Well, that's
there's nothing stopping you from doing that.
That's the thing,
from
though.
Trading
but,
to a what if to
right,
a what is.
Right. But like I said, if there is collusion, then there's nothing the Yankees can do. But if there isn't, then anybody could go get him.
That is a good point. Now, where would the collusion come from? It would come from
the
Manfred, or would it come from the Guggenheims?
No, the owners.
Where would it come from?
From the owners. They would just collude to get the Dodgers to be the best team so that there's this public outrage, so that when they go to the tables for this potential lockout, that they would have the support of the public. They would win the
okay,
public.
You know what? That does
win.
Make sense with the upcoming CBA. That does make sense.
I'm just giving you what's out there. I don't buy into that. I really don't. I'm more with your camp where, you know what? Everybody wants to cry about the Dodgers, but you know what? They are working within the confines of the rules. They are doing everything that you wished any of your owner of your teams would do. They are spending. Yeah. They deferred money. You want to call it a loophole, whatever it is, but they have cracked the system, and who wouldn't want their team to be doing something like that?
Well, if you can crack a loophole, that means you have smarter people working in your organization.
Right.
That means they cracked the loophole.
Yeah. They also have players willing to defer money. You know, Ohtani deferred his contract. Not a lot of superstars want to do that. It's the old, hey, I won the lottery. Do you want it all now, or do you want it, you know, $1 million a year for the next 100 years? Most people take the big check right out of the gate.
Now the one thing I will say is when you have like, oh, Dominguez was absolutely no trade. Oh, Spencer Jones was a no trade. Volpe was a no trade. What have those guys done?
Nothing.
Why is Lombard a no trade?
Well, Lombard, like, he hasn't had an opportunity. Lombard
and get a proven major leaguer from a guy who may be something or may not be something for a guy who actually is something.
Always take the proven commodity over the prospect. The thing about Lombard,
correct,
though, is that you haven't seen it yet. Where those other guys, you have. You know, Spencer Jones, you haven't seen a lot of, but you've seen now Dominguez for a while here and Volpe for a while.
We haven't seen it, so we don't know that it exists.
Right, but I'm saying with Lombard, he could be great, he could not be great, but he at this point is just a prospect. So if you could get Scooble for Lombard, you'd do it in a nanosecond.
Yeah, so
doesn't mean the Tigers wanted him.
Before we even get to the table, why is Lombard off the table?
We don't know that he's off the table. I don't think he necessarily is. I think if the right trade came along and the right player came along, a Mason Miller, a Scooble, something like that, the Yankees would be willing to part with Lombard.
Okay. All right. I got you. Tommy, thank you. You do a great job. I love you on the overnight. You know, you were a great producer on the midday. I'm happy you got your own show. I know you will ascend even further. I love your happy attitude. I love the positive Tommy. I've been listening forever, and I just want to say God bless and good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate the kind words there, Mike. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Yeah, that's out there, that collusion stuff. I am not in that camp. I just... Maybe it's that I don't want to believe that it's true. But there are, and you're going to hear it a lot over the next 24 hours, I'm sure, in this radio station, people will have those takes. I can't be one of them. But the idea is the owners want the Dodgers to have everybody. They want them to win another championship so that when it comes to the new CBA and when it comes to a potential lockout, the public will be on the side of a salary cap, because they feel like the Dodgers are doing something that's unfair and nefarious, or they're ruining baseball, they're destroying the sport, and there's no competitive sort of balance, and nobody can dethrone them, and they snap their fingers and they get this player, they snap their fingers and then get that player. And I mean, the Dodgers gave up good prospects.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
If there is no collusion, if there is collusion, there's nothing you can do. But if there isn't, then it takes a team to step up and go toe-to-toe with them. See, I'm more of the camp of dethrone them, beat them at their own game. They found the way to do it now, but you know what? Outsmart them on the next turn. More so than Nazario, that's it. Just have a cap and sort of take away what they're doing. I'd rather just beat them and get the satisfaction of that than sort of pulling back on what they can do. Because the Dodgers aren't doing anything different than anybody else, meaning they're not working in a different set of rules. They're playing within the same rules as everybody else. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. D joins us from Linden, New Jersey. What's up, D?
Oh, wow, I'm on. Hey, how you doing?
Good, what's happening?
Listen, yeah, I got a few things I just wanted to. First of all, you know, you're at your best when you're talking sports. I know you do all your other stuff. And I'm unlike the other guy, honestly, I wasn't really a big fan. But when you do your sports thing, man, you're really, you know, I think you're good. Just a little whatever.
Okay, I mean, I prefer doing both of them, but I appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, I got you. But listen, I just wanted to say that I had a theory about this. And I don't listen to you enough to know what your thoughts are about the possibility of Lindor being traded to the Yankees. Could you just share that with me? Because I don't think I...
Not happening. The Mets are not dealing Francisco Lindor.
Okay, got you. So you won't agree with this. But I thought about how, you know, when you look at this move with Garcia that the Yankees did, I mean, in many ways, people are like, no, he's like the same player. You know, obviously he's a good hitter, whatever. But I thought he would be a perfect actual player for the Mets. And I thought that would be something that the Yankees could possibly laying in place to maybe get Lindor.
You're saying get Garcia and then flip him to the Mets for Lindor.
Yeah.
That's very fantasy baseball almost in a way. No, the Mets are not moving off of Lindor. I never thought they were going to. I mean, obviously the Yankees could use the help at shortstop and Lindor makes sense for the Yankees. But I don't see any world where that trade would go down, meaning him going to the Yankees, Lindor. And I just don't see a world where he gets traded, period.
Yeah, and you know, that would also open up the possibility for that young kid that everybody's talking about that they now need to trade. I think they could trade him, this shortstop kid just coming up.
You're saying Lombard. Yeah, I mean, Lombard could also move to third base. They could move Jazz to third base. They could trade Lombard. I think for the right move, they would. I think for like a Mason Miller.
I think so, too. But you know what, we're sort of in an interesting environment. That theory that you threw out about the Dodgers and, you know, the solution piece. You know, I've been a Yankees fan since the 60s when they were like at their worst. Mm-hmm. And if you don't remember, you know, I'm not mad at Dodgers at all. We were the Dodgers in the 70s. You know what I mean?
And the 90s and 2000s. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what the beef is. And then we had a work stoppage in the early 80s. So I'm not sure, you know, if they're thinking that same piece is happening now. But I don't think that's the case. I think if the Yankees wanted to do it, you know, they would. You know, they're just...
Yeah, listen, Hal has been the one talking about salary cap a lot. I mean, Hal doesn't want to do what the Dodgers are doing or what Steve Cohen is doing. He'll spend, but he doesn't want to spend like those teams do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, I mean, I have mad respect for the Dodgers. You know, he's not his father. And, you know, we don't necessarily expect him to be.
Nope.
But, you know, once you get the money, it's a little different than when you're making your money. You know, so what they call that, nepo kids are different than the people who are creating this stuff. It's always been.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, you got to run a business and you also got to win, D, and I appreciate the call. You got to balance both. And I'll say it again. Beat the Dodgers. Beat them at their own game. I'm never going to join in on the sort of outrage that they're ruining baseball and they're bad for baseball. I think you need a villain in sports. I think you need sort of this, I think the idea of a superpower and a team dethroning them, which we almost got last year with the Blue Jays. They were so close, not once, but twice in knocking them off. And it's a credit to the Dodgers. And oh, by the way, everybody wants to talk about the stars on the Dodgers, but it was the role players in Game 7 that ultimately aided in LA winning another championship. It wasn't necessarily Ohtani. Now, Yamamoto was great, but still, you had the others, so to speak, the role players come through. And that's sometimes where the Yankees, look, they have the great, the Judge is great. When they had Soto, he's great. Stanton in October's great. But you need the Volpes. I'm just giving examples now because these guys should be gone in theory. But Volpe and a Wells and a Jazz, you need those guys to be the Tommy Edmonds and the Kike Hernandez and Rojas last year for the Dodgers. That's the difference. And you need now a Schlittler to step up and be Yamamoto was last year. You get that? You can beat them. They're not invincible, the Dodgers. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get to the Mets coming up later on this hour as Freddie Peralta is now a Ray. AJ Minter is out of here. And who could be on their way out next? Let's head out to Cape May, New Jersey. Rob joins us here on After Hours. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's up, Tommy?
Hey.
Hey, I agree with your take on moving Jazz over to third, but I actually called Emmanuel Barberi and can say what he thought about that. And he said the Yankees feel that that ship has sailed. So Luis Garcia is going to have to play somewhere. And Jazz has played 194 games in center over his career. So maybe they could fit him in there a little bit. And
yeah, the problem is you still got Grisham. I think Garcia right now is you're going to be your first baseman, DH. I wouldn't move him to second. The only way I would move Jazz over to third is for Luis Arraez, because Arraez is kind of settled in as a fine as for defensively second baseman.
Would you move Jazz to center if they did get Arraez? That was my original question for Emmanuel.
No, I don't think I would do that. Then, if the ship sailed for third, I would imagine it's sailed for center. I would not do that. I wouldn't. But third base, I would. And I don't know. I didn't speak to Emmanuel about this as far as the ship being sailed. But I would love to get my hands on, if I'm the Yankees, Luis Arraez, and if it means moving Jazz over to a position he's played before, then I'd be comfortable doing that, because Arraez hits for such a great average and doesn't strike out, and I think Arraez would be such a welcomed addition to the top end of this, you know, top part of the lineup.
It'd be awesome with Arraez and Rice at 1-2.
Yeah.
That would be perfect. And I got a nickname. I wanted to see what you thought. How about Tommy Takes?
Tommy Takes. That has already, Rob, been taken. Keith McPherson, who was just on before here doing a five-hour show, Keith called me that off air. Now, I don't know if Connor clipped me saying it yet. I got to talk to him. But that nickname is already out there, Tommy Takes, for me. So I've already been anointed Tommy Takes by Keith. But I appreciate that. I always love the fan interaction when it comes to the, because you never know what Tommy you're going to get. And there's obviously so many Tommies. There's positive Tommy. And that's really the bread and butter. That's the main Tommy. But there's also, you know, I don't think this is the case, but many of you think at times I could be delusional Tommy, or Delulu, as the kids would say. There's also Tommy the Pothole Slayer. There's Tommy the Rationalizer. There's Tommy the Wedding Crasher. There's Tommy the Family Man. There is Tommy the Visionary. There is Breaking News Tommy. There's Tommy Takes. There's Tommy Pucks. On and on and on and on. There's just so many different Tommies. Tommy the Legend. Tommy the Total Package, and yes, I am Lex Lugauer. So there's a million Tommies out there to sort of make up one Tommy. But Tommy Takes has been taken. But I appreciate that. And anytime the audience has one of those, you can either call up or give it to me on Twitter, either way. And it doesn't even have to be good. I'll use it. I'll add it to the staple. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the late night. Here on The Fan, we will get back to your calls. More deadline talk. We'll mix the Mets into the conversation coming up. Peralta gone, Minter gone. Who is next? We'll get more into the Dodgers and Skubal as that trade went down over the weekend. What we could potentially see over the next 16 hours as well with the trade deadline. So a lot to get to in the next 40 minutes, taking you all the way to 5 a.m. We'll get football later on in the show, but a lot of trade deadline as it is baseball trade deadline day. The phone number to hop on and join the conversation is 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
126 here on The Fan in New York City. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is trade deadline day. We talked a lot of Yankees in the first 90 minutes. Now we go to the Mets as they traded Minter over the weekend. They traded Freddie Peralta on Sunday. And now we await more moves from the Mets over the next, And when you hear that sounder, that is, and you know this is the premier show for breaking news on this radio station. When you hear that sounder, it means we have breaking news. So do we have breaking news on the Mets, Fleeks? Is that what happened?
We do. Your amazing streak of breaking news continues.
Okay, so I hope it's not Clay Holmes. I don't want to see the Mets trade him. It doesn't sound like Bo Bichette's going to get traded. I'd be stunned if it's Lindor. I would imagine I'm going to go Brooks Raley got traded.
Close. It is a reliever. It is Waskar Brazoban.
Okay, and where did he go?
To the White Sox for two prospects. I'm going to dig up info on them now.
Yeah, because the thing is with prospects, you got to know what the ratings are, you know, or the rankings are. Because you could say, hey, they traded Brazoban for three prospects. But if it's like the 25th ranked prospect in the White Sox system or 15th, 16th, you know, you'd like to get some top 10 prospects. Now, they were unable to get that for Peralta. So I'd like to get that for Brazoban for sure. And when it came to this bullpen, you know, the thing about this now is Raley's going to be gone. Brazoban's gone. Minter's gone. It makes me think that Weaver could be sticking around. Now, obviously, you could trade all the relievers, but you need guys in the bullpen next year. Brazoban was under control for the next couple of years. Weaver is under control next year. I love Luke Weaver. I love his makeup. I love his mentality. I love everything that he brings to the table. He's obviously shown he can prove, or he's proven that he can pitch not only with the Yankees, but also with the Mets. So he's handled this market in two different sort of arenas, Yankee Stadium and Citi Field. So the more guys that get traded out of this bullpen, Minter gone over the weekend, and now, just now, Brazoban, breaking news, Ken Rosenthal first on it, traded to the White Sox, who have been busy as well at this deadline, adding pitching, and good for Chicago, they're going for it.
And we have the return. So the Mets got two prospects back. One is Gabe Davis. He's in Double A. He's the White Sox 18th ranked prospect,
okay,
according to MLB Pipeline. And the second guy is Zach Franklin. He's in Triple A. He's not in their top 30.
Okay, so not necessarily the greatest of
returns.
And he's
27 years old.
27. So he's a journeyman. He's in Triple A. If he's not made it to the majors now to help out a team and he's not even ranked, it's probably because when you get that old, it's like they're basically like, we're not going to rank you anymore. So he's either major league ready that can help him at the back end of this year, and you're not getting a top 10 prospect for Brazoban either. You definitely want to get more for him. That's for sure. No doubt about it. Brazoban has been unbelievable this year and is under control for a while. So that's a guy you didn't have to move off of. Raley made sense. Minter made sense. Weaver, I can go either way. Brazoban, you're looking for more from than what they got there. Now, rankings are rankings. Obviously, a guy can get to the majors and be better than his rankings. It's just a number to go off of. It's just a gauge to go off of. Like Peralta, the Mets traded two top 10 prospects, Sproat and Williams, and they got back three prospects from the Rays. None of them are in the top 10. All of them are in the top 30. They got their 15th, 26th, and 27th ranked prospect. And as far as Freddie Peralta, let's go back to the beginning with Freddie. Let's go back to the trade itself, because I was literally on the air when it happened. And that's why they call me Breaking News Tommy. And this show is the premier show here on WFN for breaking news, because I was on the air when the Peralta, among many breaking news stories over the last 7 to 8 months. But Peralta was one of them. And I was extremely excited at the time. I thought, you're getting a top of the line starting pitcher, a guy that is your 1A, 1B to Nolan McLean. So that pairing, that duo, could be, you know, two essentially aces for the Mets this year, and perhaps beyond if Peralta had the great year and the Mets wanted to do business with him and keep him around for a while. There was obviously risk in the trade because Peralta was on an expiring deal. So there was always that feeling of, hey, Peralta, even if it went well and the Mets had a great year, that Peralta could be a rental and he could be gone. But you got to give to get. I always say that when it comes to trades. You don't want a prospect hog. You don't want to, you know, not every prospect pans out. Far from it. You got to give to get. And I was all for getting Freddie Peralta. The two best starting pitchers out there in the market, as far as that got moved, signed, traded, whatever, in the offseason, was Dylan Cease, who's had an awesome year. He was a starter for the All-Star game for the American League. I just hate the Cease contract, and I would not sign a pitcher of Cease's caliber because I still think I do not put Dylan Cease in a Paul Skeens or a Skubal or a Yamamoto. He's not in that category. And I wouldn't give any a pitcher of Cease's caliber that type of contract. So I like the idea of getting Peralta for some prospects. And I was all for the move. I liked it a lot. And it filled a major need for the Mets in the offseason, which was adding to their rotation, which they had to do. Now, as far as Freddie Peralta and his time with the Mets, you know, a lot has been said about Sonny Gray through the years, that Sonny Gray couldn't handle New York. And obviously, Sonny had success before he got to the Yankees. He has had success since leaving the Yankees, including now with the Red Sox, the surging Red Sox, who just completed a sweep of the Dodgers this weekend. And Boston is the hottest team in baseball. And right now, they are the best team standing today. We'll see how the next 2 months go. But Boston is just, they just swept the Dodgers, who everybody's crying about that ruined baseball over the weekend and have been ruining baseball. So a lot was said about Sonny Gray. He couldn't handle New York. I didn't get that vibe with Freddie, that he couldn't handle New York. I don't think it was a New York thing. I don't. And I also don't think it was a Met thing. The Mets ruined Freddie or they screwed him up. And look, it's open season on the Mets. The president is making fun of him. Bob Costas is making fun of him. Social media makes fun of them on a nightly basis. So it is absolutely now low-hanging fruit, open season to make fun of the Mets. And based on the... I'm not saying it's not warranted, the making fun of, but that's where we're at. So everything Met bad, everything Stearns bad, everything they're doing bad. They're ruining pitchers now. You know, anything you can do to just sort of put the blame on the Mets, that is what is happening right now. I don't think the Mets had anything to do with Peralta's lack of success with the Mets. I don't think it was about not being a New York guy. I mean, everything you hear about Peralta, he's a stand-up dude. He always seemed like after these games, like he owned up to his failures. He was not skipping the podium. And everything you've heard about Freddie as far as being a great clubhouse guy and a great teammate, you know, he took ownership of it, Peralta. I just think it's one of those unexplainable things, which sports can be sometimes. Not everything, there are shades of gray. It's not always black and white. It's not always, this guy can't handle New York. He can't handle New York. Or, the Mets screwed him up. The Mets are, they can't get anything right with their pitching. Well, hold on a second. If that was the case, Nolan McLean wouldn't be pitching the way he's pitching. Christian Scott wouldn't be pitching the way he's pitching. Zach Thornton wouldn't be pitching the way he's pitching. Clay Holmes wouldn't have been pitching the way he was pitching before he got hurt. So I'm not buying that either. And look, I think Peralta is going to be really good for the Rays. And this is obviously something the Yankees are going to have to deal with now, a team that they're chasing. I think Peralta is going to be good. I think Peralta is good. I like the move. And I was open to keeping Peralta, meaning when they traded for him in the offseason, I was open to signing him in the offseason. Because I've always liked Freddie Peralta. And even with some of his shortcomings, not being able to go deep in games, he has proven to be an all-star caliber pitcher, a guy who led the National League in wins last year. And much like Brazoban, I am disappointed in the return. I would want more for a guy like Peralta, who is not having his best of years, but I would have liked the top 10 prospect, ideally. Same thing with Brazoban. And to me, if this is type of the returns you're going to get, then I wouldn't trade a Clay Holmes, which I wouldn't anyway, but I would avoid it. Because to me, Clay Holmes is absolutely a candidate for an extension here. And I would do that. He was pitching like an ace. He would have been an all-star. Clay Holmes would have been. He has done an unbelievable job transitioning from a reliever to starting pitcher. Another guy like Weaver, like Holmes and Weaver, they have been excellent with the Mets. And I'd like to keep both guys. And I would have been open to keeping Peralta if he had been having a good year and felt like this was going to be a home for him. But it never seemed to click. But I don't think it was a New York thing when it came to Peralta. I don't. And I don't feel that way with Bichette either. And the latest with Bo Bichette is that there haven't really been... Let me get the exact tweet from you, for Mike Puma put this out earlier on Sunday. Bo Bichette, whose contract contains a no-trade... This is from Mike Puma on Twitter. Covers the Mets. Bo Bichette, whose contract contains a no-trade clause, said the Mets haven't come to him with any proposals, says it's highly unlikely he will be dealt. Now, I figured the Mets and Bo would have a conversation about the offseason, whether or not Bo is going to opt in, and if Bo is planning on staying, then obviously keep him. I mean, he has been way better than advertised defensively, and offensively, I still believe Bo Bichette could be the player that we saw throughout his career with the Blue Jays, which is one of the most, if not the most, clutch players in all the sport. A machine as far as offensively, especially when it comes to extra base hits and a high average, and a clutch player, a hustle type of guy, a winner, a gamer. You know, there have been a lot of players that have come to the Mets and have struggled early on. Great players. And a lot of those great players got through it. And despite some early struggles, ended up having great careers with the Mets. Beltran, Piazza, Lindor, Soto. Soto, Lindor obviously still going. And I'm not necessarily suggesting that Bo Bichette is all of those guys going to the Hall of Fame, but he is a really, really, really good offensive player, and he's been better than advertised defensively, especially when the fact when you consider he changed positions. But if he doesn't get dealt, Bichette, then I would imagine and hope that the Mets had a conversation with him about Bo sticking around. And it makes sense for Bichette to stick around because where else is he getting paid, what, $42 million? I mean, that's a lot of shkarol. That's a lot of boxes of ziti. It's a lot of scratch. I don't know if Bo Bichette's getting that on the open market, especially who knows what's going to come our way with the CBA. So if Bo doesn't get dealt here on Monday at the trade deadline in the next 14, 15 hours, then I would imagine or I would hope that Bo Bichette is sticking around with the Mets. And I certainly would be in favor of that because I love the move when he came here. I still really love the player. I think there's a lot to love about Bo. And I think if Bo gets back to that Blue Jay Bo, that Met fans are going to really embrace this player because of the hustle, because of the clutch hitting, because of the just that he's a machine at the plate. You know, I try not to be prisoners of the moment. And look, I get it. Peralta, you don't want to re-sign him. His time here was a disappointment, for sure. He did not, Freddy Peralta, perform to the level that all of us expected him to be. Even if you were just, hey, he's going to be a five-inning pitcher, he's a six-inning pitcher. Okay, even if you're saying that that's you can't get past that, nobody projected or foresaw a season with the Mets that Peralta had. Nobody. A guy who's in the prime of his career that you figured was going to get better and better and better. And look, I think he's going to be really good with the Rays. But I don't think it's because the Rays have the magic elixir and the Mets are just a worthless organization. Stop. Nor do I think it was a New York thing. Sometimes it's just unexplainable. We always want to just get to the bottom of something, get to an answer. We all believe it's got to be black and white. It's got to be one or the other. It can't be shades of gray. It just can't be the unknown. It just can't be. Just, same thing with Lindor. Lindor's having that type of season where I can't explain it. I don't think it has anything to do with a captaincy or a Juan Soto relationship or a podcast with our mayor or the players' wives. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I just think some guys have years where they have off years. And you can't really explain it. Maybe it has something to do with injuries. Maybe it just has something to do with whatever. Just not their year. But I try not to be a prisoner of the moment when it comes to really anybody, but Lindor here and Bichette. So those are two guys that I want to factor in and hopefully are being factored in for the future. And the same goes for Clay Holmes. And I know a lot of teams are interested in him. A lot of teams visited his rehab assignment. And you know this about me, if you followed me at all on social media or on this radio station, you know how I feel about Clay Holmes as a pitcher. And he has, I think, exceeded most people's expectations. You know, his first year was good. It ended on a great note as he kept the Mets alive going into the final day of the season. And the performance we saw from Clay Holmes earlier this year was magnificent. It was ace-like. It was all-star worthy. And Holmes showed you that he can go deeper into games this year. Like, he progressed as a pitcher. He didn't go backwards. And he had that first year where, okay, wasn't able to go, you know, five innings, six innings, that was it. But then this year you start to see him going in the seventh inning, and that was very promising from Holmes. I wouldn't move off him. I wouldn't move off him. Especially if you're going to get the return that some of the returns have been here for the Mets. Because Brazoban, if you're just tuning in, traded for one prospect that isn't even ranked by the White Sox. And then and that guy's in AAA, Zach Franklin. And then Gabe Davis, AA, who is not in the top 10. Brazoban, who's been great and has obviously got a lot of years of control left. And Peralta, you were able to get three prospects, but none of them in the top 10 after trading two top 10 prospects. And again, I have no problem trading those prospects for Peralta. I'd do it again. But you hope to get more back when you deal him, even with the year he was having, because he still has a great track record as a starting pitcher. So you would think a lot of teams would want his services and would be willing to part with a top 10 prospect. So if that's going to be the case, I would hold on a lot of these guys. Even more so than I already wanted to hold on them, which is Holmes and Bichette. And I've been adamant about that for weeks now. I would not deal either guy, unless Bo Bichette came to the Mets and said, I'm out of here. You know, there was a report like 2 weeks ago that Clay Holmes, this is from Will Salmon in The Athletic, that Clay Holmes is open to signing with the Mets, you know, re-signing, you know, an extension with them. And that's great. You know, when I read that, I was like, hopefully the Mets can do that right out of the shoot. You know, when that news came out, I was like, hopefully within a couple of days, you know, forget the deadline, forget dealing him. You know, I think of a rotation next year, and I know he's on the Dodgers, and the Dodgers outspend everybody, but I still see a rotation of the Mets next year, my dream rotation, being Skubal, being McClain, Scott, Thornton, and Holmes. Now, this bullpen next year, obviously with Brazoban gone, Minter gone, Raley will be gone. I look at Luke Weaver now as a guy that I would keep, and I've gone back and forth on Luke Weaver. You know, some days I said trade him, some days I said don't trade him. That's as a sports talk radio host. As a fan, as a Met fan, I've gone back and forth on it. But I also would be happy either way, even with the recent departures in the bullpen. If you get an out, you better get more for Weaver than what you've been getting, but I would be happy if Weaver is dealt and the Mets get a huge return, or if, you know, based on the way he's performed. But if you can get even more, great. So I'd be happy that way. But I'd also be okay if they kept him, if the Mets kept Luke Weaver, because he's on a good deal. You know, $11 million a year. He's got one more left on the contract. You need arms in the pen next year. Luke Weaver could be the closer. He could be a strong eighth inning guy. He's proven he can do either. And he's proven it now on two different stages here. Once with the Yankees and now with the Mets. And I think it says a lot about Luke Weaver. As far as not only his abilities, but also the ability to handle, which is, you know, in his case here, because he's kind of now gone through it, both situations, but also to handle the pressures of late innings and these spotlights that present itself in New York. You know, we've seen it now with a full, and that's why with Peralta, it's only a couple months. I can't label a guy, well, he can't handle New York because it was a couple months. And I didn't see that in the personality or the way that Peralta handled himself after these games. I didn't see a guy that was just awestruck and spooked by the bright lights, the pressure, the scrutiny of pitching or just playing in New York. I didn't see that with him. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. If you want to jump on and talk about the trade deadline, the Mets, the Yankees, Skubal going to the Dodgers, which we'll get into more in the 2 a.m. hour, but feel free to hop on now. We will do the fan focus right now, and my fan focus is on what the Mets just did. If you're just tuning in, Ken Rosenthal. The Mets are trading Brazoban to the White Sox. They got two prospects back. One is in AAA, one is in AA, Zach Franklin and Gabe Davis. Davis, a top 30 prospect. Franklin is not. And for a guy like Brazoban, who's under a lot of control and a guy you could have kept, you know, Minter makes sense. Raley makes sense. Weaver, you can go either way. Brazoban, if you're going to move off of him, and relievers, sure, year in and year out, but Brazoban has had a mighty fine Met career, and he's built that resume up. And it could go either way with relievers, year in and year out. I totally understand that. And I totally understand if you feel like as an organization, hey, we're gonna, you know, obviously Mason Miller's of the world are different, Edwin Diaz's of the world are different, but for the rest of the pitchers that come out of bullpens, when you feel like, hey, this might be the peak of a pitcher, like Luke Weaver, this might be the peak of his performance with us. We want to cash in. We want to get our money back. We want to bring our chips to the window. That's totally fine. But then get the value for what that player is at. If you don't, then don't. And there's no reason, you don't have to trade him. I don't know if there's a feeling of a public pressure, the Mets have to sell all these guys. They don't. If it makes sense, Peralta made sense. Minter made sense. A couple other guys make sense. But to me, I would not be in a rush to trade Weaver. I wouldn't have been in a rush to trade Brazoban. If Bichette has shown or has told the Mets that, hey, I want to stay, then I definitely wouldn't be in a rush to trade him. I would not be in a rush to trade Clay Holmes. I would stay put in a lot of these situations. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call, but that's what I'm talking about. You never know when a trade is going to go down here. So even though it's the wee hours, Brazoban gone to the White Sox, the Mets get back two prospects. One of them is in AAA, but he's like 27 years old. He's really not even ranked. So if you want to call that a prospect, they got an arm. And then the other player, Gabe Davis, is in AA, and he is a prospect. He's a top 30 prospect from the White Sox. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Tiffany from Garden City joins us. What's up, Tiffany?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm actually sitting in my car right now because my house had carbon monoxide in it. So I just wanted to call because I had a question.
Well, hopefully everything's all right if that's the case. Everything good with the house?
Yeah.
Good.
There's a bunch of stuff going on. But anyway, should the Yankees trade with the Marlins package with Otto Lopez and Liam Hicks? That obviously would be, you know, a big haul for the Yankees, but should they pull the trigger? What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. I like both players a lot. I mean, Hicks gives you that professional catcher. Otto's obviously one of the best offensive players as far as average there is in baseball, which would be a huge help for the Mets. So I for the Yankees. So I like that move a lot.
My brothers completely disagree with you, by the way.
Why is that?
So that's why I was asking. I don't know. You should ask them, but I'm glad you're on my side.
Well, I definitely am, and maybe they didn't want to trade certain players, but I you need a catcher, you need a professional catcher, and as far as Adley Rutschman, you know, his name has gotten a lot of burn over the last, you know, day or so with the Yankees, and there's been a lot of talk about him coming here, but, you know, the Orioles are in the Yankees division. I'm sure they're going to tax the Yankees because of that. Rutschman is certainly not really taking that next step on the promise that he showed, you know, those back-to-back years where he was in the All-Star game. And I know he made the All-Star game again this year, but where he put up, like, nice numbers and seemed like, you know, at 23, 24, 25, he was going to be one of the best catchers in the sport. And that hasn't happened. He's still an upgrade over what they have, but that's not really saying much. But it's possible that Baltimore just puts a tax on the Yankees and says, if you want to trade within division, you're going to have to pony up more than what you would normally or another team would have to pony up for Adley Rutschman. Now, Liam Hicks, who's had a fine season for the Marlins, makes sense. Catcher. Lopez, I like a lot. High average guy, similar to Luis Arraez, where it's not going to be, you know, a lot of power, but he's going to hit, you know, 320, 330. That's the type of guy I would be. And, you know, the shortstop situation is, I mean, Volpe stinks. Caballero, the bloom has come off the rose. Lopez does not strike out a lot. Love that. Under 100 times the last 3 years. High average. Doesn't strike out. Contact guy. You know, and that's why you got to be giddy about this Luis Garcia trade, because not only is he having a career year, so you're getting him at his peak value. You're getting him at his best as far as his major league career. Garcia has a ton of power. His metrics, his advanced stats are neck and neck with Ben Rice this year, and you know the type of year Ben Rice has had, an MVP caliber year. If the Nationals were better and had a and actually had some bullpen, and you know Garcia might, number one, he might not have been traded. Number two, he could be in the MVP conversation in the National League. That's the type of year he's having, and that's the type of role he's been on for the last couple months. So the Yankees are getting one of the hottest hitters in all of baseball over the past 60 days. And they're getting a guy not only with great power, a player that mashes right-handed pitching, but Garcia also hit, Luis Garcia also hits for a high average and doesn't strike out a lot, all things considered, when you factor in that he's a power hitter. And whether it's Lopez or whether it's Arraez, you know, you want to bring in a guy that has a high average contact guy, low strikeouts. That's the recipe. The Yankees have a championship rotation. And I think they have a championship bullpen. What they don't have, far from it, especially with Judge and Stanton out, and who knows if and when they're coming back and what type of players they're going to be when they come back this year. The lineup is not a championship lineup. And in order to inch closer to that, the Yankees are going to have to make multiple moves over the next 12 hours or so. They got to get a catcher, so whether it's Hicks, whether it's Rushman, I would imagine Jeffers from Minnesota is kind of off the table now because Minnesota has been surging in the AL Central. So you got to get a catcher. Another infielder makes sense, as Garcia will be the first baseman, DH. I don't see Ben Rice moving to catcher, so I think you're going to have a situation where Paul Goldschmidt is not the odd man out. He's still going to play, but Garcia is going to get a ton of at-bats. And I think he's still got to consider putting him in there against left-handed pitching, even though Garcia struggled mightily against left-handed pitching. I think the Yankees will add another bat also in the outfield. So outfield bat, another infield bat, and a catcher. So let's say three more hitters before the deadline is here and gone. So 6 p.m. later on tonight. And perhaps another bullpen arm because you've already dumped Duvall, you've already dumped Bird, and you got to replace those arms. Unless you're just going to go with Warren and Webb, which they could do. But an outfielder, whether it's, and Tyrone Taylor has been adamant about not wanting to get traded from the Mets, but whether it's Tyrone Taylor, I would not trade for Jorge Soler. I don't really necessarily love Joe Adell either. Elliot Ramos from the Giants, that's a solid pickup. And his name has sort of emerged recently, you know, over the last few hours for the Yankees. But I the name I keep going back to, and it's a long shot, a very long shot, but that is George Springer. Big game player, tons of postseason experience, championship experience, a winner, a gamer, a Yankee killer, local guy, UConn product. If they can get the Yankees their hands on George Springer, that would be a major coup. That would be a major feather in the cap of Brian Cashman. That, to me, is the... Now, if you can't get him, you still got to go get an outfielder. And Springer, it won't be easy. And I believe he might have a no-trade clause, so he's going to have to waive that if he wants to go to the Yankees. But he's got to accept going there. But the Yankees, look, they got to catch the Rays, and they also got to hold off the Red Sox, which is not going to be easy. Boston is red hot, and they just swept the team that everybody's crying about that is completely and utterly destroyed baseball, and that is the Dodgers. The Red Sox took them to the cleaners over the weekend and swept them. So now Aaron Boone and his squad have to deal with not only the team in front of them, but the team behind them. They are sandwiched, so to speak, between the Rays and Red Sox. And that's a very tough place to be. With the lineup the Yankees have, that's why they need these reinforcements. And then you cross your fingers and you hope that either you got to get Judge back. Stanton, hey, listen, Garcia, maybe a couple other bats. Now you don't necessarily need Stanton back. If you get him back, great, but you're not hanging on pins and needles to get him back. Aaron Judge, obviously, you have to have back. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Loogie in the Late Night here on The Fan. We'll continue to take your calls on the trade deadline. We'll continue to monitor the trades. If anything comes over the Twitter, the wire here in the next few hours, we'll let you know. We will mix in the Scooble situation with the Dodgers and the impact it's going to have not only on this season but also in the offseason with the looming negotiations for a new CBA. We'll mix in some football, too, throughout the show, something that Cam Scataboo said over the weekend that caught my ear. So that'll be later on, probably in the 3 o'clock hour. But the 2 o'clock hour, mostly baseball, trade deadline, Dodgers, Scooble, things of that nature. The phone number to join the conversation, 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Loogie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.